In a world obsessed with hustle culture and 80-hour work weeks, what if working less but with greater intention is the actual secret to meaningful achievement? This counterintuitive approach forms the heart of slow productivity, which arrives at a critical moment when workplace burnout has reached epidemic levels, with 77% of professionals reporting exhaustion from always-on work cultures. The fundamental problem? Knowledge work resists simple metrics. Unlike manufacturing or agriculture, where outputs can be clearly quantified against inputs, the value of knowledge work is ambiguous and constantly shifting. Without clear measurements, we've defaulted to visual proxies, packed calendars, rapid email responses, and constant presence, creating an illusion of value while fostering a culture obsessed with appearing busy rather than being effective. Technology has only intensified this problem. Studies show knowledge workers check their inboxes every 6 minutes on average, creating a perpetual cycle of shallow activity that masquerades as productivity while undermining it. We're exhausting ourselves with activity that doesn't translate to impact. But what if there's a better way? What if sustainable success comes not from doing more, but from focusing intensely on what truly matters? When McDonald's opened in Rome in 1986, food journalist Carlo Petrini responded by launching the slow food movement, not just opposing fast food, but championing leisurely, local dining as a more fulfilling alternative to impersonal consumption. This philosophy offers a blueprint for reimagining productivity. By viewing knowledge work as cognitive craftsmanship, we can learn from historical figures who embraced slower, more deliberate practices. Jane Austen's masterworks emerged during periods of focused solitude. Andrew Weil solved Fermat's Last Theorem through years of dedicated concentration. Benjamin Franklin strategically delegated business tasks to protect time for intellectual work. Like slow food, slow productivity doesn't reject efficiency, but reframes it, emphasizing quality over quantity, depth over speed, and sustainable practices over burnout. Knowledge workers today face mounting administrative overhead with each new commitment. Projects, committees, and initiatives pile up tasks until reaching a tipping point where even minor additions risk overwhelming us. Many operate perpetually at this edge, leading to potential burnout and serious health consequences. The solution lies in deliberately limiting commitments. The first principle of slow productivity is straightforward: do fewer things. This creates space for meaningful work to thrive through focused attention rather than scattered effort. One effective approach is implementing a poll system for tasks. Maintain a holding tank of potential projects while limiting active items to 3. New projects begin only when current ones complete, providing clarity and focused execution instead of juggling multiple priorities. When selecting initiatives, be wary of task engines, projects that generate numerous small obligations. Consider both the main challenge and potential secondary tasks that can drain mental energy. Sometimes, investing in professional services or software subscriptions is the most efficient way to preserve time for high-value work. Research on hunter-gatherer societies reveals lifestyles with substantial leisure and varied workloads, contrasting sharply with modern work's constant productivity demands. These ancient patterns followed natural rhythms: intense activity when needed, rest when appropriate. Lin-Manuel Miranda's creative journey illustrates this balanced approach. He spent nearly a decade developing in the Heights before Broadway success, and later balanced focused work on Hamilton with diverse creative pursuits, showing how greatness often requires patience and gradual development. To incorporate natural pacing, start with a 5-year plan for significant goals. This longer timeline accommodates life's interruptions while enabling exploration and steady progress. Double your estimated project timelines to account for optimistic bias and prevent burnout. Consider seasonality in your work patterns, like Georgia O'Keeffe's alternation between intense creativity and rest at Lake George. Even in today's workplace, incorporating slow seasons, periods of reduced intensity, can provide mental refreshment while maintaining career momentum. Mary Oliver composed poetry during daily woodland walks, where her environment directly fueled her creativity. This exemplifies how thoughtfully matching our surroundings to our work can enhance productivity and creative output. Great work often emerges from unexpected spaces. Maya Angelou wrote in bare hotel rooms, while Peter Benchley created Jaws in a furnace factory. These unconventional settings worked because they eliminated familiar distractions and fostered focus. To apply these insights, design your workspace to mirror your work's essence. If writing about nature, position yourself near greenery. If developing strategy, create an expansive environment. Consider unconventional settings, libraries, coffee shops, or quiet corners that separate you from daily distractions. Establish rituals that signal deep work time. Like the ancient Eleusinian mysteries that transformed mental states, meaningful work rituals can activate specific mindsets for creativity and focus. The right environment, combined with intentional practices, can consistently unlock your best thinking. When Jewel declined a $1 million bonus to commercialize her sound, she chose artistic integrity over quick success. "Hardwood grows slowly," she explained, demonstrating how prioritizing genuine development over immediate gains builds sustainable success. Steve Jobs exemplified this principle upon returning to Apple in 1997. By dramatically simplifying their product lineup to focus on making few but exceptional devices, he transformed a struggling company into a global leader. For knowledge workers, this means identifying and focusing intensely on core activities that create genuine value. Developing this quality-focused approach requires first improving your taste, your ability to recognize excellence. As Ira Glass noted, creative people must work through the gap between their refined taste and current abilities through persistent practice. Create your own Inklings, a diverse group providing honest feedback similar to C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien's literary circle. While pursuing quality, balance is crucial. The Beatles' Sgt. Pepper sessions show how excessive refinement can risk spontaneity while still producing masterpieces. Alanis Morissette's creation of Jagged Little Pill exemplifies how calculated risks can drive excellence. By defying industry expectations, she placed a strategic bet on her artistic vision that compelled intense focus and quality. For knowledge workers, strategic self-betting provides motivation without overwhelming pressure. Like Stephen E. Meyer writing Twilight after her kids' bedtime, you can dedicate specific hours to passion projects while maintaining primary responsibilities. Consider reducing your salary to create financial incentive, though this requires careful consideration. Create accountability by announcing schedules publicly or attracting investors. Social expectations and outside investment elevate stakes and motivation, as shown by John Carpenter's journey from small-time director to creator of the successful Halloween franchise. These strategies create productive constraints that focus effort without causing burnout. By thoughtfully increasing the stakes, you harness natural motivation rather than relying solely on willpower or external management. The right kind of pressure becomes a tool for transformation rather than an obstacle.